admit that I was taken by surprise last night when I learned that today is a holiday. I was, one of our secretaries was leaving and said, we'll see you on Monday. I said, Monday. That's when I realized today is a holiday. But on reflection, because I know that November 1 and 2 are always holidays, the Undas, the beautiful observance of going to pray at the tombs of our deceased loved ones, and sometimes going to the home province, gathering with the family. There's a lot of beautiful traditions associated with November 1 and 2, but November 1 and 2 fall on Saturday and Sunday, so I assume that's why today was made a holiday. As I say, it's a very beautiful, it's a praiseworthy cultural practice, as well as spiritual practice, to pray for the dead. So I hope you have an opportunity to go to the tombs of your loved ones in these days. We have two tombs here on the property, Father Francis and Sister Barbara. We can also pray there. It's a much, much better practice than what has taken over in the United States and some other places, that today is observed as Halloween, a day to dress up as a skeleton or a ghost or something and then go around and eat candy. Even though both of the traditions stem from the church's practice of honoring all the saints and praying for all the dead, the cultural observances have gone in two completely different directions. So here we're much better off observing the practice of praying for the dead, going to visit the tombs. Okay, let's take a look at the scriptures. First thing that came to my mind as I pondered the gospel today was something that came up yesterday. We were gathered yesterday afternoon for a time of formation. We were reflecting on Pope Francis's talks on the virtues, and he sometimes has colorful expressions, and he said, well, pride is a poison. One drop of pride can poison a whole mountain of good intentions. Something like that, paraphrasing. And the example that I had in mind yesterday was the parable from last Sunday where the Pharisee and the tax collector went to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee is so full of pride, so self-righteous, that his prayer is poisoned by his own pride. And all he can do is think about how great he is and how much better he is than everybody else. Pride. Well, it came back to mind in reflecting on today's gospel, because here we have Jesus in the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and there's a person, a man there, with this swollen limbs, they call dropsy, fluid retention, and Jesus raises the question, is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath or not? And they don't give any answer. First indication, there's a poison there. There's something poisoning these people from recognizing the obvious correct answer. And then after he heals the man, he asks an even more obvious question. Who among you, if your son or ox falls into a cistern? Let's just stick with the son. Let's leave the ox behind us. If your son falls into a cistern on the Sabbath, who would not pull him out? They were unable to answer his question. Obviously, there's something seriously wrong with these people. It's that their inner life is so poisoned that they can't even say they would pull their son out of a cistern on the Sabbath day. Nobody should be unable to answer that question. And I should say, anyone can answer that question. You don't have to know the laws of the Sabbath. It's enough to know love of your own son, which is deeply rooted in us. Okay, so there's something wrong here. A lack of love, a poison that cripples love, a poison that makes it impossible to even know the basic moral obligations. That's on one side. In the first reading, we get the other side. A very great love, St. Paul's great love for his own people, the Jews. Now, this passage comes immediately after the sections of Romans chapter 8, which is so beautiful and so lofty, so encouraging, so joyful, Paul has been reflecting on how great it is that, that if God is for us, no one can be against us. That that because God is on our side, nothing can separate us from the, from his love. Nothing. And then it's a very lofty expression that in the very next chapter, all of a sudden he says he has great sorrow and constant anguish in his heart. It's very striking. If you read the letter to the Romans, he's rejoicing, he's proclaiming the greatness of the love of God, and then all of a sudden he says, I'm full of great sorrow and constant anguish. It doesn't seem like they could go together, but it does, because this is how love works. When we look at the love of God, we're filled with consolation. He loves us so much that he overcomes even our sins. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But when we look at ourselves and we look at our world and we see that, yes, we are separating ourselves from the love of God, it's a very painful thing to realize. This is one of the church's reflections on the Blessed Mother. Why do we honor Mary as a sorrowful mother? Not just because her son died, but because the fruit of his passion and death and resurrection is not being accepted by the people. That's a very great grief of, well, of every one of us and of Mother Church. Anyway, St. Paul, he's concerned about the Jews. He's not against them. Just the other day, was it Wednesday? Pope Leo made a very strong statement affirming the church's respect for the Jews. It was the 60th anniversary of the Vatican II's declaration on our relations between Christians and Jews. And so Pope Leo reaffirmed that, said, no, there's no room in the church for anti-Semitism. And here's St. Paul himself praising the Jews, praising the children of Israel, and affirming. Now, he's filled with the Holy Spirit when he writes this. He's affirming all these special privileges that the Jews claim because they're given by God, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the law, the worship, the promises, that is, the prophets, the patriarchs, and especially from them, according to the flesh, arises the Messiah. Jesus is a Jew. So after saying all this, he says, why do I have this grief in my heart? Because these chosen people, these privileged people, are not gaining the benefit of the love of God that I've just spent all this time proclaiming. He even goes so far as to say, this is really a shocker, I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people. Now, no one could wish that. That's an exaggeration. It makes no sense to say, I wish I were cursed so someone else would be saved. So Paul can't mean that literally. But what he's expressing is love. And love is willing to sacrifice for the good of the other. That's what he's saying. What sacrifice would I not make for my people? We can't sacrifice our salvation for someone else's salvation. That just is impossible. Don't even think of it. But Paul says it. He says, I could wish this, except it's impossible. But I mean, there's no limit to the extent of sacrifice I want to make so that my people will gain the benefit of the gospel, gain the benefit of knowing the love of God in Jesus Christ. So that's love. Now, you see the contrast between the scholars of the law and the Pharisees, who can't even admit that they love their own son enough to take him out of a cistern, as if there's not even a drop of love left in them. And that's on one side. And then on the other side, the love of St. Paul for his people, who have caused him a lot of suffering. Remember, when Paul talks about how great the Jews are, he's also aware that he has been stoned and persecuted and driven out of town and threatened in many, many ways. He's still willing, out of love, to sacrifice himself for them. So, see the difference. Now, where does Paul get that from? He gets it from the Holy Spirit. We get it from God himself. It's not human love that makes it possible for us to sacrifice ourselves. It's divine love at work in us. So this is where our hope always is always based. It's always based on the love of God. It's not that we get so good at loving, or we get so virtuous, or we get so strong, or so courageous, or so sacrificial that we can finally make it. No, we open ourselves to the power of God at work in us, and that power far surpasses whatever we could accomplish on our own. So let us not be poisoned by pride, or let our love be poisoned by our own agenda, our own self-righteousness, our own judgments of others. No, let us open ourselves to the love that does not have limits, that is divine love. And let that love permeate us and transform us so that we can love one another.